want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, the last chapter of the book. If you'll go to Isaiah and then go back two books, you will find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This book was written by Solomon, and Solomon, as you have heard, was the wisest man, said to be the wisest man that ever lived. That is, of course, excluding the Lord Jesus Christ. And Solomon was given the option, he could ask for anything he wanted as he took over the throne of his father David. And Solomon made the right choice. He could have asked for wealth, he could have asked for power, but he asked for wisdom, and God blessed him with a tremendous insight into all matters of life. And in this book, he is giving little tidbits of wisdom and things that he has learned as king and as a father and as a husband and as a preacher. And in verse 13, when you get to the end of the book, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, when you get down to it, here's the bottom line. My dad used to say, now, son, this is the bottom line. You know, you'd say, Dad, can I? He'd say, no. Hey, Dad, please, no. Oh, come on, Dad, please, no. But, Dad, no. And he'd say, all right, now, son, this is the bottom line. And the bottom line, he didn't go any further than that. You stopped right there, lest they had to hire a professional crew to come in and scrape you out of the cracks of the walls. You knew what the bottom line meant. And so here's what Solomon says. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the bottom line. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I want to speak to you today on the matter of responsibility, obligation, the matter of duty, the matter of just simply doing what we're supposed to do. Well, Dr. Bob Senior used to say all the time, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. And when it comes to the matter of duty, when it comes to the matter of simply doing what we're supposed to do, Solomon says here, let's get to the bottom line of this matter, this thing called life. Here's the whole duty. Here's the whole responsibility. Here's the conclusion. Here's the bottom line of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. So I want to speak to you today on the matter of obligation, responsibility. What is our responsibility as believers in Christ? Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us, and then we'll continue. Our Father, we just thank You so much for the privilege of being able to open the eternal Word of God. And Lord, I'm so glad I don't have to come in here this morning and preach on my wisdom or some other man's wisdom. Lord, we can come in here and open the eternal Word of God, and we can share Your Word and Your truths. And Father, I pray You'll bless the preaching of the Word this morning. Lord, what a thrill to see the Bible come alive, and I pray that it will do that this morning in every heart. Lord, help us to see the point. Help us to see the message this morning and to understand it. And then, Lord, not just to hear with our ears, but to hear with our hearts and to allow the Word of God to make an impact upon our lives. Lord, give us, I pray, a desire to have a walk with You and a relationship with You that Lord, just continues to prosper and continues to grow. And Lord, I pray that You'll give us what we need here this morning and touch every heart in this building. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. I looked up the word dictionary, in the dictionary this week, the word duty. And one of the definitions that I found was this. Just simply said, doing that which we are supposed to do. I never will forget years ago, whenever Lester Roloff came to Greenville, South Carolina, when I was in college, we would all gather in somebody's car or several people's cars, and we would go if it was within 50 miles, we would go to hear Brother Roloff preach. And Lester Roloff was a unique individual. He is now in heaven, but years ago when he was in the prime of his ministry, we would go and hear him preach, and I still remember many of the sermons that I heard him preach. And I never will forget one time he was closing the service at one of the churches there in Greenville, and he said this. He bowed his head at the conclusion of the sermon, and he prayed, and he said, "Lord, help us to do right. Not because we're afraid we'll go to hell if we don't, but Father, help us to do right because it's right to do right." And I never forgot that. That lodged in my heart, and I've never forgotten the words of that prayer. Help us to do right because it's right to do right. You know, every one of us are just swamped. We're bombarded with duties. We have burdens upon us that are different for every person. But all of us have duties that are thrust upon us, and we need to make sure that we purpose in our hearts that we're going to do the right thing. That we just make up our mind that we're going to do the right thing. That's one thing about Daniel that just impresses me so much. I've often said that there are several people I want to spend some time with when I get to heaven and kind of pick their brains a little bit, and Daniel is definitely one of those men. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He just purposed in his heart. What does that mean? That means he made up his mind that he was going to do right. I mean, it didn't matter what the consequences were. It did not matter what the king said or what anybody else said. Daniel just made up his mind that he was going to do the right thing. And how important it is for us to realize the matter of duty and simply doing what we're supposed to do. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now, when it says fear God, you've got to understand it does not mean cower. It does not mean to be afraid of. It means to respect. It means to respect. If you see a policeman standing at an intersection and he's got his uniform on and he's got his hat on, his big old badge up here, and he's got his gun on his side and nightstick, and he's standing in the middle of an intersection and he puts up his hand, he does not have the physical strength to stop your vehicle. But he does have the authority to stop your vehicle. And that is what it means to fear God. You respect His authority and you do what God expects you to do. And what is the whole conclusion of the matter? It is to fear God. In other words, to recognize that God is God and then do what He says to do. Now, there are a couple of things here that I want to emphasize and stress to you this morning. First thing I want you to see, service for God is a duty that all believers have. Service for God. Folks, what it boils down to is that as a Christian, you and I are just simply supposed to serve God. We're supposed to do what God wants us to do. We have not been saved so that we can just get fire insurance and then do what we want to do. We have been saved, and then God has given us a book, and God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand the book. And as we read the book, the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts and teaches us the commandments of God and what God expects. And service for God is a duty that all believers should have. But, you know, I've been at this a little while, and I've noticed some things. There are a lot of folks that start well, but then they quit, they slack off, and they don't give it their best whenever whenever they quit enjoying the service. They serve as long as they're enjoying the service. But you know, man has been so created that we cannot continuously be stimulated over an extended period of time by the same stimuli. We have been so designed by God, and I suppose that it is the sin nature that brings this way of thinking upon us, but we cannot continuously, over an extended period of time, be stimulated by the same stimuli. I have told you in the past that about when I was a child, I think I was about 14 years of age, and my dad bought us a pool table to go in our rec room, and we played continuously whenever we weren't in school or asleep. We played continuously on that pool table, and we got up early many a morning and played a couple of games before we went to school, and then as soon as we got home, we played, and we'd stop to eat dinner, and then we'd play again, and we just stayed on that pool table for the longest time, I mean several months, but then after a while, we just lost interest in playing pool. When I was 12 years old, or 11 or 12, my grandfather decided that since we were moving out in the boonies, that he was going to buy us a dirt bike. And so he bought my brother a dirt bike, and he bought me a dirt bike. And we rode those motorcycles day and night. And then after a while, they kind of lost their appeal. And then a few years ago, after I finished graduate school and got my doctorate, I decided I would celebrate, buy myself a Harley Davidson. So I bought myself a Harley Davidson, and I rode that Harley Davidson in the brutally cold weather. I mean, you get off the thing and you're numb. And then I rode it in the rain, and I rode it, I mean, day and night. I was riding that motorcycle everywhere I went. I figured, if you're going to spend that much money on a motorcycle, you might as well use it. And so I rode that motorcycle everywhere I went. And after a while, it got to be a burden. I don't like helmet hair, do you? You know, you put the helmet on, take it off, and your head looks like the inside of a helmet. And I didn't like helmet hair. And I didn't like bugs hitting me in the face. And you know, so after a while, that Harley lost its appeal. And so we're just made that way, where we cannot be continuously stimulated over an extended period of time by the same stimuli. Now, folks, one of the things that you've got to say, whether you say it in a good tone or a bad tone, is that we do the same thing every week. We do the same thing every week. We gather here on Sunday morning. We sing a congregational song. We have the choir sing. And then I stand up here and I preach to you for the last 10 years, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We do the same thing over and over and over and over. And I want you to understand something, Christian. After a while, we have the tendency to lose that excitement. I mean, when you first got saved, or when you first came here, there are many of you that have come up to me, and you have come into this church in the last 10 years. And there are many of you that have said to me, "Pastor, where in the world have you guys been?" Well, we've been right here, folks. And we've been doing the same thing over and over and over. It just so happens that just recently maybe you came in and you have been thrilled with what you've learned from the Word of God. You've been thrilled with what you have heard the choir sing. You've been thrilled with the Living Cross. You've been thrilled with the soul winning program. All this is new to you. And when you came in and you started watching what was going on and you got involved in what was going on, man, you could not wait to get here. You could not wait for church to start. You would get so excited just thinking about it that you couldn't hardly stand it. But, you know, something happens to us, doesn't it? After a while, we get used to what we've got. After a while, we grow accustomed to the stimuli that is all around us. And I don't know how many times through the years I've had people make appointments to see me or they stop me in the hallway and they've said, "Pastor, something's wrong with my heart." And I've said, "Oh, really? What's the matter?" "Well, Pastor, I've lost my burden for souls. You know, preacher, I just don't enjoy soul winning like I used to. I used to love to go out on Tuesday night, or I used to love to go out on Thursday night. Or I used to love to go out on Saturday morning on my bus route. And it was exciting to me. And I thrilled at the privilege of being able to go out and knock on somebody's door and sit down with them and open the Word of God and show them from the Bible how they need to be saved. Pastor, I used to just get so excited about that, but I don't feel that excitement anymore." I don't know how many times people have said to me, "You know, preacher, I've been saved a long time, and I used to love to read the Bible. I mean, it was like a love letter from home, and I would sit and read the Bible. It was the dearest thing to me in the world, and I would read it by the hours. But, Pastor, I just don't have that love for the Word of God that I used to have." I've had Christians say to me, "Pastor, my prayers just seem to hit the ceiling and bounce right back down on top of my head. I used to love to pray and I used to value my prayer time. No person ever spoke to another person with as much joy and excitement as I when I spoke to God. And I always thrilled at prayer and saw it as a delight. But Pastor, something's happened to me. I don't pray like I used to. What is wrong with me, Pastor?" I've had folks say to me, when they've quit coming to church or started hitting and missing church, and I've had them say, "You know, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. I used to love to come to church. Oh, there was an excitement in my soul, and I could not wait for Sunday morning to get here. And then when Sunday morning was over, I couldn't wait for Sunday night to come and for Wednesday night where we open the Bible and learn the truths of God's Word. But now, Pastor, I just don't enjoy it like I used to. The thrill is gone. And Pastor, I just don't know. I just don't know what's wrong with me." Well, folks, let me see if I can help you with this. I want you to know something. The honeymoon is over. I'm not the new pastor anymore. In most cases, I'm old what's-his-name. And it should be Pastor what's-his-name to you. But I'm old what's-his-name. And you've heard all of the illustrations, and you've heard all the jokes, and you've heard all the hillbilly-isms. And you know, it's just not new like it used to be. And the thrill is gone. And we are at a period, we are at a phase in our church when the excitement has died down. And we're at a place in our church where the boom is kind of died down. And we're used to the sermon style, and we're used to the choir being used and blessed and thrilling our souls. We're at the place where it's really a dangerous time for the Church of the Open Door. What you do when you no longer tingle and enjoy it, what you do when you no longer thrill and anticipate, what you do will determine whether someday you rise to great heights for God or sink into a backslidden life eventually to get out of church and out of service for God altogether. You see, folks, There comes a time when duty, when responsibility, when obligation has to step in there and cause us to do what we are not motivated to do. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. When Pastor Rick called me this morning at 6 o'clock and he said, "Pastor, what do you think about running the buses this morning?" My immediate reaction was, "You're a grown man. Make the decision. Don't call me at 6 o'clock in the morning." But then it dawned on me, wait a minute. I'm the pastor. I have to make that decision. And so we made the decision. And I sat on the edge of the bed and I thought to myself, what other preacher in America that has three services he has to preach this morning is sitting on the edge of the bed at 6 o'clock in the morning? Something's not right with this picture. And I sat there and the devil bombarded me from all angles, and I thought, you know, it would sure be, I could just hear that still small whisper, it would sure be easier just to cancel church this morning. After all, it is icy outside. And then I thought, no, wait a minute. Where is the responsibility that we have before God? Where is our duty? Where is our obligation? Folks, let me tell you, we're not here to serve the Church of the Open Door. We're not here to serve Pastor Belcher. We're not here to serve Larry Stainer. We're not here to serve anybody in this building. We're here to put God first, serve God, and serve Him regardless of whether it tingles, regardless of whether we get excited about it, regardless of whether we have chills running up and down our spine. Our responsibility, the whole duty of man, is to serve God and be what God would have us be. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, we're not supposed to read the Bible because we'd like to read the Bible. We're supposed to read the Bible because we're supposed to read the Bible. We're not supposed to pray just simply because, we tingle and we thrill. And when we come to the place where we don't want to pray, we're just simply supposed to pray because we're supposed to pray. And when you do that out of obligation, when you do that out of responsibility, when you do that because it's the whole duty of man, all of a sudden you're going to find yourself becoming that kind of Christian that you want to become and the kind of Christian that God can bless and use. You're not supposed to go soul winning when you have glory bumps running up and down your back. You're supposed to go soul winning because you have enough character to do what you're supposed to do as a Christian and go soul winning. I mean, there's just some things we're supposed to do. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Strength for thy labor. The Lord will provide. Folks, if we just do what we're supposed to do, God will then step in and give us the strength to do what we're supposed to do, but He will also give us the blessings because we've been obedient. What we need in our midst, what the Church of the Open Door needs, is a transfusion of serving God. Not because it tingles, not because we enjoy it, but because we're supposed to serve God. We're supposed to pray, and we're supposed to be in church, and we're supposed to tithe, and we're supposed to read our Bibles, and study our Bibles, and memorize our Bibles, and learn our Bibles. We're supposed to teach our Sunday school class. We're supposed to preach our sermons. And we don't just do it because of some external motivation. We do it because of internal motivation. Because our motivation is we want to be pleasing to the God that reached down in the pit, picked us out of that pit, set our feet upon the solid rock, established our going, and put a new song in our hearts. That should be our motivation. After I got my wits about me this morning, I got up, ate a bowl of cereal, took a shower, got dressed, came to church, and I'm up here now just preaching my heart out. Why? Because that's my duty. It's not my duty to you, primarily. It's my duty to the one who called me to preach. Folks, I want you to know, that same God that called me to preach called you to preach. Oh, not from behind this pulpit, but how shall they hear without a preacher? I mean, we've got a duty. And let's do our duty, even when we don't tingle on the inside. Even when we're not excited about it. I tell you, you go ahead and do what you're supposed to do, and that excitement will be there. That thrill will be there. Second thing I want you to see, good Christians do what they ought to do regardless. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you, and you know, I don't always feel like preaching. Especially on Sunday morning. You know, who was the guy that said 8 to 4? You know, why not 2 to 10? What's wrong with 2 to 10? What would you call that? Mid-morning shift? Afternoon shift or something? I don't know. I mean, 8:30 in the morning? I remember when I came here and they said early services at 8:30. My immediate reaction was, in the morning? I don't do mornings. I don't like mornings. I don't always feel like preaching. I know several preachers around the country, and if they don't feel like preaching, they just don't preach. They call one of their staff. Or if they don't feel like preaching, they'll just have a testimony service. I can't do that. You say, well then, why do you preach? Because it's my duty to do what God's called me to do. And you know, it's not every Sunday morning. It's not every Sunday morning that I wake up, resurrect from the dead, groan and moan. Not every Sunday morning, just once in a while. I'm human. You slap me, I hurt. You cut me, I bleed. I'm just being honest with you this morning. You know this about me anyway. You can ask my family. I don't like mornings. But I do it. Why? Because it's my duty. God told me to do it. God's called me. God's put it on my heart. I don't always feel like doing some of the things that I have to do around here. Some of the things that I have to do around here, I just wonder, well, why do I have to do that? But wait a minute. It's my duty to do those things. And you know, it's so easy for you being a layperson. I mean, you're not paid by the church. Nobody pays you bus workers. I think what you do is wonderful. I admire you for doing it. Nobody pays you Sunday school teachers. Nobody pays you nursery workers. God bless the nursery workers. What a ministry you have. And you know, nobody pays you folks. But yet, you do what you do. And I'm telling you, God's blessing you for that, whether you see it or not. God is blessing you for that. You know, I was thinking about this last night. Preachers, and see if you agree with me on this. Preachers should not have to inspire their congregation to serve God. But you know, we have to do that. I suppose we do. I've never tried not doing it. But I can't imagine if I did not do that every week where we would be. Preachers should not have to inspire people to serve God. We spend so much of our time inspiring people to just do their duty. We spend so much time inspiring people to go soul winning. I mean, every time we get ready to start a new soul winners session, I just feel so responsible to come in here. Pastor Larry tells folks in the soul winning club when we're teaching and training other preachers and their staff how to start a soul winners club. Pastor Larry will say that, you know, unless the pastor is behind it, it's not going to fly. And you know, I just feel like soul winning is, man, that's what this church is all about. It's our heartbeat. I mean, it's the thrust of our ministry. And so when it's time to start a new session of the Soul Winners Club, I don't even think about it. I just see it coming, and I think to myself, you know, man, I got to preach on soul winning and motivate folks. There's a lot of folks that if they would just do their duty and get in the Soul Winners Club, they would realize the blessings and they would enjoy it and they would become soul winners and God would bless them. And so we have to spend our time motivating people to do what God has clearly said is every believer's responsibility. But inspiration should not drive us. Obligation should drive us. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here this morning. And I realize that there are people that are elderly and they're a little bit more fragile. And I don't blame them for not coming out on a morning like this. But I'm telling you, there's some healthy people that looked out this morning and saw flurries in the air. And they said, oh, can't go to church today. And their excuse tonight is, well, I didn't go this morning because it was snowing. I don't guess I'll go tonight. Folks, we have a duty. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation. Thank God. Thank God for people that do what they do out of obligation and not just out of inspiration. I like John 14:15. I like that verse of Scripture. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. And folks, here's where you learn to perform your obligation, in that you love Christ. We obey Christ and perform our duties because we love Him. How do you love Him? You learn about Him. To learn about Him is to love Him. Once you know Christ, you won't be able to help yourself. You're going to love Him. And you say, well, how do you get to know Christ? You read about Him in this book. From Genesis to Revelation, He's in this book. He's on every page. And as you read this book and you learn about Jesus, you'll fall in love with Jesus. And to know Him is to love Him. Brethren, listen. Now that you're used to me, and now that I'm used to you, and now that the newness is worn off, and the test of your love for Christ and my love for Christ will be determined by whether or not we still grow and see souls saved and have spiritual services. The test of whether or not we just take it to the next level is whether or not we just do our duty in spite of the fact that the inspiration has gotten old. Folks, we've got to stay with it. That's my point. We've got to stay with it. Obligation will cause us to rise to victory. You know what the world says? The world says, if it feels good, do it. No. God says, just do what you're supposed to do. You don't make a decision about what to do on the basis of how it thrills you or it affects your emotions or makes you tingle. You just do what you're supposed to do because it's commanded of you in the Word of God. Duty. Church member. Duty, pastor. Duty, teacher. Duty, deacon. Duty, choir member. I know it's volunteer, but you have a duty before God. You have a duty before God. And folks, that's what makes a great church. That's what makes a great church. You wake up and you say, well, I'm tired today, and my soul, they're running 2,000. They're not going to miss me. Well, we may not miss you, but God might miss you. Well, I won't be missed. No, duty. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just get dressed and come to church and do your duty. You say, well, I'm too busy to read the Bible. No, duty, duty, duty. You read the Bible anyway. You just do what you're supposed to do. Brethren, we've got a job to do. And it's going to take obligation, responsibility, and duty to get that job done. Several years ago, I had one fellow in my church, had the 5th and 6th grade boys. He came to me one day and he said, Pastor, he said, I've had this class since I can remember. And I'd like to resign the class. And I looked at him and I said, don't do that. He said, no, he said, I think somebody else ought to come and take this over. He said, you know, let somebody younger come in here and take this class. His children were in high school at the time. And I was greatly concerned that if he resigned his class, that it would impact his children as well as him and his wife. And I did everything in my power to keep him from resigning that class. And I said, brother, why don't you just pray about this for a week? You take this home with you and you get on your face before God and ask God if He wants you to give up this class. And he said, all right, Pastor. So he went home and said he prayed about it. I don't believe he did. Came back the next Sunday and he said, Pastor, he said, I prayed about it. He said, I believe I'm supposed to give up this class. And so he did. I had somebody waiting in the wings, and they gladly stepped in there and took the class and did a whole lot more with it than what he was doing anyway. And he gave up the class, and then I noticed he started missing first Wednesday night. And then he started skipping Sunday school. And then he started missing Sunday night. And then he started missing, and all this has taken place over a 2 or 3 month period. He started missing on Sunday mornings. And then they just weren't there at all. And several more months went by, and one day there was a knock at my office door. And I said, come in. And in the door came that Sunday school teacher with a handkerchief wiping tears. He sat down across from me, and he started telling me the sad story about his children and how his children had done some silly things. And how one of his children had done something so ridiculous that it was going to put a mark on him for the rest of his life. And he sat there and he cried and he wept. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, this all started on that Sunday when I came in and said, I want to resign my class. It all started that day. And he said, Pastor, you tried to talk me out of it. You tried to stop me. You did your best to stop me. But I wouldn't listen to what you said. And now, our lives are forever changed because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Dear friend, I'm telling you, there's something to this matter of just doing what you're supposed to do. And the truth of the matter is, some of you have gotten to the place where it's no longer fun for you. It's duty. You've gotten to the place where you don't tingle anymore. You don't rejoice when it comes church time. You don't set up in the morning and say, well, praise the Lord, it's time to go to church. What's God got for me today? You used to say that, but you don't say that anymore. And brethren, right here, right today, is going to determine whether you're going to go on to do something great for God or whether you're going to be like one of the countless hundreds that used to be here that aren't here anymore. I don't want to be one of those Christians, do you? I don't want to be one of those. I see them everywhere I go through Westminster. Hey, Pastor. Karen will say, who was that? I said, well, they used to be in our church. And there's multitudes of them. I know some folks leave and they got legitimate reasons. I understand that. Good night. Don't even start. Been down that road so many times. But there's a ton of people that just simply don't come anymore because of this issue that I'm speaking about right now. You'll see him as, how you doing? Well, you know, we're holding our own. Are you going to church anywhere? No. Well, won't you come back? Well, I'd be embarrassed to come back now. Big deal. Be embarrassed. Good night. That's a lie from the devil anyway. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. And God will bless you. God will bless you for it. Brethren, let's be for all we can be for God. I mean, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If we don't do it, who's going to do it? May God help us to keep His commandments, to fear Him, and to do our duty. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for what You've taught us this morning, and I pray that this truth will settle into the minds and hearts of every person in this room. Lord, give us a heart that wants to do the right thing. Lord, when it no longer is exciting, when it's commonplace, when we've done it hundreds of times before, when we don't tingle, when the glory bumps are gone, when the excitement and thrill is over, Father, help us just to keep on doing what we're supposed to do. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit to move and work in the hearts of Your people. Lord, there's folks here that have been in this church from its inception. Lord, don't let them lose that enthusiasm. Don't let them lose that thrill. Don't let them lose the joy of serving Jesus. Father, keep us close to You. Keep us in the Word and keep us faithful. And Lord, help us just to do what we're supposed to do, regardless of external circumstances. Lord, give us victory here today and touch our hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many folks here today will raise their hand and say, Pastor, I know the Lord is my Savior, and I understand what You're saying, and I can see it in my heart. I can see it applied to my life. And Pastor, I want You to pray for me. I want You to pray for me. I have a decision I need to make in this area. I need to do what I'm supposed to do regardless. And Pastor, I want to do that. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over this building, and let's pray about this morning. All over this building, raise your hand. God bless you, folks. Amen, 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 amen. Folks, let's do what we're supposed to do. Let me ask one more question. Might there be somebody here today that's not sure you're saved? You say, Preacher, I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Pastor, would you pray for me? I need the Lord as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and let me pray and ask God to help you this morning? You're not sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, but you'd like for me to pray for you. Lift your hand, let me pray for you right now. Would you do that? Is there anybody like that? All right. Now, Father, You know our hearts today so much better than we know ourselves. You know every fiber of our being. You know how many hairs we have on our head. Lord, You know the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so, Father, speak to our hearts today and show us our need for doing what we're supposed to do. Lord, give us a burdened heart. Give us a broken heart just to be faithful and serve You. Lord, even if it's icy and snowy outside, even if it's blistering hot outside, if it's pouring the rain, Lord, no matter what the externals are, help us, Lord, to have that kind of heart that just says, I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. This is the whole conclusion of the matter. Lord, the bottom line, and give us that kind of heart. I pray for every Christian that raised their hand this morning. Lord, give us that grit and determination to do the right thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.